We're holding Mem Zion Amud Beis, the first line of the wide lines, so six lines from the bottom. The Gemara had brought a brisa that went through the details of how Gerus takes place. We said that once we get to the point where the guy has had bris milah, then we the next thing is for him to dip in the mikveh, and we said. So while the guy is in the mikveh, then the Talmid Chachamim, who are supervising the Beis Din, who's supervising the Gerus, they stand over there and inform him of some of the mitzvahs kalas and some of the mitzvahs chamuras, which they already informed him back when he first came as a prospective ger. But now, like, they're reminding him, this is the last chance for you to back out, because afterwards, the Braisa says, afterwards his Gerus is irrevocable. So therefore, they remind him again of some mitzvahs kalas and some mitzvahs chamuras while he's in the water. And the Braisa had said, echad ger ve'echad eved meshuchra, this applies to a ger as well as to a freed slave. So the Gemara says, kasakadad echad kabal of oil mitzvahs. Now, the assumption to begin with is that when the Braisa is comparing a ger and a freed slave, it means as far as this part about mitzvahs. Implying that, so when a person is becoming a ger voluntarily, and also when an eved is being freed. As an eved, he was responsible to keep some mitzvahs. And now the implication is that now when he's being freed, where now he's becoming a full Ben Yisrael, he's becoming the equivalent of a ger, then he has to be informed of the mitzvahs. Throughout the sugya over here, you have a machlokes between Rashi. And between Rashi and Tosfos and various other Rishonim, whether we're talking about, are we talking about, Rashi learns in particular that we're talking about when he's being freed. In other words, according to Rashi, when he's first taken in as an Eved Knani and given Bris Milah and given Tevilah, he doesn't necessarily need to be told then that he's responsible to keep mitzvahs. Practically speaking, he'll kind of learn them on the job. Later on, when he's freed, then we have to inform him of mikvas mitzvahs kalas and mikvas mitzvahs chamuras. According to many other Rishonim, rather, what it is we're talking about when he's first being when he's first being taken in as an eved, that he needs to be. When he's first being taken in as an eved, many of the Rishonim say that it means that then we have to inform him of these mitzvahs, mitzvahs kalas, and mitzvahs, mitzvahs chamuras, and see. Now, the Rambam, for example, phrases it quite clearly. He says, we don't ask him, do you want to? In the case of a ger, we ask him, do you want to accept these mitzvahs? In the case of an eved, we don't ask him, because it's not really up to him. He's an eved after all. But we ask him, do you want to become an eved knani, where you're going to have certain dinim different than a regular goy, the expression that Amam uses is "miklal avdi Yisrael aksherim," among the kosher servants of Jews. Do you want that, or do you want to? As we're going to learn on Mem Chesem Adays, it's possible for the eved to remain under certain circumstances to remain a complete goy. So according to Rashi, what we're talking about over here, that the Gemara is assuming that we have to tell him about the mitzvahs is when he's being freed. And according to many other Rishonim, according to the Rif and the Rambam and others, we're talking about when he's first becoming an Eved of Israel. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Uramina, we have a contradiction now. Bamed Varam Amurim, when is this talking about that you have to tell him about the mitzvahs? Beger, Aval be'Eved Meshuchra ain't Tzorach L'Kabel, only by a Ger, but by an Eved Meshuchra, you don't need to. So implying, in other words, that you don't need to inform him. So why is the Braisa earlier? On the face of it, it's comparing a ger and an eved meshuchra. On the face of it, the comparison is that they both need to be informed of mitzvahs in the same way. But the second braisa is saying that by an eved meshuchra you don't. So the answer is amar of sheshes like kasha harab shim ben alaza harabanan. The braisas are by two different tanoim. Rav Shim ben alaza holds one way. The rabbanon hold the other way. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, regarding a Yifas Toya, we know the Torah tells us that if you capture a goyish woman in battle, then you're allowed to, and you're attracted to her, then you want her as a wife, so she becomes a Viotis, and then you can marry her. And the Pasuk says, Vachsa Saviyaves Imavagamer, she'll cry during the month that she's sitting there for her father and her mother, etc. So, and then the pasuk says that after that you can marry her. So, b'medvorim amurim. So the Tanakama of the Braisa says, when is this talking about that you have to wait a month for her to sit and cry? Is shaloi kibla aleha, if she's not willing to accept mitzvahs on herself, so then she and to become a giyoris, then you have to wait a month and see what happens. Avo kibla aleha, but if she accepted mitzvahs on her right away, matbila umutu b'miyad, then he can tovel her. And then he can tovel her and as a giyoris and his mutter to and his mutter in her right away. To be exact, actually, it brings you on the side from Kesef Mishnah, who says, listen, in any case, you're going to have to wait 3 months. We learned earlier in our perek that you have to wait 3 months, a giyoris, or at the end of the previous perek, we talked about a giyoris. Here we're talking about, here in our perek, we talk about a born Jewish woman, whatever. They always have to wait 3 months because of Avchana. Fine, but it means, in other words, we don't have to wait for her to do anything else because she's accepted on herself that she's going to accept mitzvahs and become a giyoris. That's the Tanakhama. Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, Afafi Shalei Kibla Aleha. Reb Shimon Elazar says, no, even if she doesn't want to accept mitzvahs on her, Koifa, he can force her, Umatbila L'Shem Shikus, and have her tovel as a slave woman, because after all, any Eved, when he's toveling, is Baal Kochan. Rashi, again, is going according to his Shitta over here, that the Avodim, we don't have to inform them to begin with of mitzvahs Kalis and mitzvahs Chamuris, and we don't have to ask them, do you want to or not? So, according to the Rif and the Rambam, fine, we don't force them to, but we tell them that, do you want to be a kosher Eved? So over here, in other words, so he tells her, listen, you're going to be a kosher Shivcha, whether you like it or not. So therefore, you're toveling for that purpose. Then he tovels her again as a freed woman, because after all, the Torah says he's not allowed to keep her as a slave woman. And then he frees her legally. And then at that point, he's muttering her. So we see, in other words, that according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, you don't have a point when an Eved has to accept mitzvahs voluntarily. So therefore, the last braisa that we quoted that said an Eved Meshuchra ain't sort of a Kabbal would be according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar. The Chachamim, who say that you do need to, that she does have to be willing to accept it, and if not, then you have to wait a month for her to cry it out and see if then she's willing to accept it. That would go with the previous braisa on Mem Zayin Amud Beis that said that Echad Ger v'Echad Eved Meshuchra, that both of them have to be willing voluntarily to accept mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, my time is the Reb Shimon Elazar. Why does Reb Shimon Elazar say that an Eved can be forced to accept mitzvahs? It doesn't depend on his volition. The pasuk says, "V'chol eved ish miknas kosef." The pasuk says, "An eved of a man who was bought with money." Now you have to ask, why does it say eved ish? Does that mean v'loy eved isha? Are you going to think that the dinim are different for an eved that belongs to a woman? Why would there be any difference? Ella, no. What it means is the word ish over here is not referring to the current owner; it's referring to the previous goyisha owner. So it means Ella Eved Ish at the Mol Baal Kochai. He learns that it means an Eved that you bought from a Goy, from a Goyish man, you can mal him whether he likes it or not, and have him become an Eved Knack. The I at the Mol Ben Ish Baal Kochai. On the other hand, though, when you have a son of a regular Goy, in other words, a regular goyish man who's going to become a ger, then you can't force him into that. That he has to accept willingly. So in other words, Rashi explains that the fact is the pasuk didn't have to say the word ish at all. Obviously, it could have said eved. So when it says eved ish, then it means as opposed to ben ish. And then so now, if it was midaita, then of course there's no difference between ish and ben ish. So what it means is it's telling us that so the context of the pasuk is, Rashi explains, that if you have an eved and you don't give him a bris milah, you can't eat the korban pesach. So since the pasuk is saying ish, then the implication is that an eved you have to mal him in order to do the korban pesach. And you should know, says Reb Shimon ben Elazar, that the pasuk is implying that you can even do it bal korchai as opposed to a regular ger, you cannot. That's Rashi's first explanation. Then Rashi's second explanation is that eved ish means that the ish refers to the eved himself. Even though the eved himself is an ish, he's an adult. He has das. Nevertheless, you don't have to worry about his das. You can do, you can make him an eved and give him a bris milah bal kochoi. As opposed to when you have a person comes, suppose on the other hand, that let's say you have a goy is coming to become a ger, and he figures, well, I want my children, I want my whole family to join me as well. He doesn't have the ability to force his older children to become ger in bal kochoi. So that's all according to Rashi. Tosfos discusses over here at some length some other possibilities of what the drasha is exactly. The point is, in other words, that Rav Shimon Elazar is saying that an eved you can force him to become an eved knani, which is a partial ger. So therefore, you see that Rav Shimon Elazar does not require him to accept it voluntarily. V'rabbanon. Now, what are the rabbanon answer to that drasha? They learn Omar Ula. So Ula explains they would darshin as follows: Kishem she'i atamol ben ish bal korchay. Just as you can't make a bris milah for a ben ish against his will. And that for sure, because after all, the pasuk doesn't say ben ish, it says eved ish. And that means, according to the two explanations of Rashi, according to the first one, in other words, that the son of any random goy, you can't grab a random goy or the son of a random goy off the street and force him to undergo bris milah and gerus. And according to the second explanation, we mean even the father himself is becoming a ger, he can't force his older children to join him in it. So just like you can't, they say the pasuk is saying a binyan av. The same way you can't do it for an eved. So in other words, Rav Shimon Elazar is using it as a hekesh. The Chachamim are saying that it's not really a hekesh. They're saying you agree that by ben ish we can't force him. Well, the pasuk is informing you that an eved also you can't do it. You can't force him. It needs to be biritzonai. So again, according to Rashi, throughout the sugya over here, we're talking about when he's being freed, that it has to be that he accepts mitzvah spirit sonai. And according to many other Rishonim, it means when he's first being taken in as an eved, that he has to be willing to accept that as the Rambam phrases it, that he's going to be from Chsherei Avdei Yisrael. So then the Gemara says, "Ve'eloh haksiv kol eved ish." Well, then in that case, what is the word ish doing in the pasuk? And the answer is, what is the word eved ish doing in the pasuk? And the answer is Ahumi Boilov Khidish Shmuel. We use that to learn Shmuel din, a whole different din. The Amar Shmuel, Hamafkir Avdoi, Shmuel says that if a person declares his Eved to be Hefker, Yotzel Cheirus, then automatically he goes free, because an Eved has to have a master. The Ein Sarech get Shikr, he doesn't even require a document to say that he was free. Shanema, Kol Eved Ish Miknas Kasef, as the Pasuk says, any Eved of a man who was bought by money. So again, Eved Ish v'loy Eved Isha is the implication that only if he's the Eved of a man does he have this din, but not if he's an Eved of a woman. Obviously not. Ella, what it means is Eved sheyesh loy rabbi sheyesh loy reshus l'rabbi olav, only an Eved whose master has authority over him, kori Eved, only such a person is called an Eved. V'she'en reshus l'rabbi olav, where his master has no reshus over him anymore because he was master him, ain't kori Eved, then he's not called an Eved. And therefore, he doesn't need to get shikhur. An interesting side point in this, by the way, is you have a Gemara in a couple of places that mentions that Hurdus was it mentions that Hurdus was an Eved of the Chashminoyim, and then he wiped out the Chashminoyim and then claimed that he had married a daughter of them, and the Gemara says she committed suicide, etc., etc. Anyway, the Kitzur, the Gemara says there, and in a couple of other places, that if a person claims to be from the Chashminoyim, then he's really an Eved. So there are actually places in Shas where it brings this, where Tosfos asks, based on this, it should seem that it's not so. He's not an Eved anymore. At this point, once all the Chashminoyim are dead, nobody has authority over him anymore. Okay, in principle they have Yoshin, because there's no born Jew who doesn't have Yoshin, but practically speaking, nobody has the ability to exercise any authority over him anymore. So therefore, according to what we're saying in the Gemara over here, Yotzal Acheres, why are we saying he's an Eved? And the answer is, you're right. We don't mean an Eved in the sense that if we find a person who claims to be from the Chashminoyim, we can actually have him work for us as an Eved. We just mean he's not a Kohen. He doesn't have the Yichus of a Kohen. He has the Yichus of being descended from freed slaves, like of being descended from the freed slave Hurdus. Okay. Anyway, the point is, so far, what we're saying is that... So far, what we're saying is that Rav Shimon Elazar holds that you can be Megayer, an Eved, you can make a person an Eved Kanani, Baal Korchoi, and according to the Chachamim, you can't. And therefore, again, when we had one Braisa that says Echad Ger, the Echad Eved Meshuchra, then it would be according to the Chachamim. And we had a second Braisa that said Abel be Eved Meshuchra, and Tzorech LeKabel would be according to Rav Shimon Elazar. And we said that we brought a Braisa where Rav Shimon Elazar and the Chachamim argue about Yifas Toyer. So now, the Gemara was assuming up until now that the dinim by a Yifas Toyar and by an Eved are the same. But now let's challenge that. Maski Flora Papa. Emu de Shamat Lahu Rabbanan by Yifas Toyar. You know what? What do you see? You hear that the Chachamim say, and they argue with Rabbi Lazar, and say that you have to allow her to cry it out and maybe she'll accept it is only a baye fast toyar deloy shaycha b'mitzvahs, where she doesn't really have a shaychus to mitzvahs yet because she hasn't been yet observing mitzvahs at all. Avol eved the shaych the mitzvahs, but an eved is in fact, the fact is, this eved has been by you for a while. He has, practically speaking, started to keep the mitzvahs that are applying to an eved. So once you have already that he's been doing that, hochinami, maybe indeed dafkilu rabbanan moidu. In fact, we can say that the chachamim would agree that you don't need to get his permission to actually make him an eved knani, because already he's used to it a little bit as opposed to the yifas toyah. Tanya, as in fact we learn in a brisa, echad ger v'echad lakeach eved mina oved kuchavim tzarech l'kabel. Whether a ger or whether you're buying an eved from a goy tzarech l'kabel, and he has to accept mitzvahs on himself, implying voluntarily. Now the implication is holakeach mi Yisrael ain't tzarech l'kabel. So the implication is if you're buying from a Jew, then he doesn't need to accept it. So mani, now who would this brisa be like? Eid of Shimon Elazar, if it was like Rav Shimon Elazar, can't be. Ha'omar, doesn't he say, Lakeach min Eved Kuchavim Nami Ein Tzarech L'Kabel? He says that if you buy an Eved from a Goy, he doesn't have to accept it. We just said before. El Olav Rabbanan. Obviously then, or Braisa, meaning in other words, we said that Rav Shimon Elazar says that even a Yifas Toyar, we can force her to, even though she hasn't yet been used to doing mitzvahs at all, and still we force her to become a shivcha and then to become a bas chorin. So therefore, all the more so with an eved. So it must be that this braisa that says that you need his permission, that you need his consent, must be according to the chachamim. So we're saying only because you're buying him from a yid do you not need his consent, because already when he was by his first master, then already he accepted mitzvahs at that time. So we see the braisa is clearly saying that if you're buying him from a goy, he does need to accept it with his own volition. But if you're buying an eved from a Jew, where he already accepted it by his first master, then you don't need to. So therefore, the Chachamim would also say that. There's a difference in that regard between a Yifas Toyar and an eved. So by a Yifas Toyar, they're saying you need to give her a chance to accept mitzvahs voluntarily. But by an Eved, it sounds like you don't need to. If you're buying him from a Goy, he needs to be Mekabel. And if you're buying him from another Jew, then you don't. But in other words, that we're saying that practically speaking, because he was already keeping mitzvahs, so in other words, it's not even really that we need a Kabbalah. Practically speaking, because by a Goyish master, he hadn't been keeping mitzvahs, then now you have to start getting him used to keeping mitzvahs. But when you're buying him from a yid, then you don't need to, because he's already been keeping mitzvahs in his old household. So we see, in other words, that according to the Chachamim, you don't necessarily need his consent either. So the Gemara says, okay, well, the Elakasha. Well, then we do have the contradiction between the Braises, because we had one Braisa, the Braisa that gave the whole procedure for Gerus, where we said that both a Ger and an Eved Meshuchra have the same rules. And then we had another Braisa that said that an Eved Meshuchra does not need to be Mekabel. So how do we reconcile them? And the answer is Elakasha, Echad Ger, Echad Eved Meshuchra. And the answer is Kitanya Hilinin Tvila. That first braisa that said that a ger and an eved meshuchra are the same is not talking about the kabbalas mitzvahs. In fact, we can say that according to the chachamim, the eved is not really required to voluntarily accept mitzvahs at all. What we mean is, as far as the actual tefillah, the same kind of tefillah as is being done for a ger, the same kind is being done for an eved. According to Rashi and Tosfos, we're talking about when the eved is being freed, that at that point he doesn't have to accept anything because he's already been, practically speaking, keeping mitzvahs. And now, therefore, and then after all, it's not up to him whether to be freed or not. According to many other Rishonim, we're talking about when he's first becoming an Eved Kanani, that then we're saying he needs to be tovled, and he needs to be told about the mitzvahs, but not in a way that we say it's up to you whether you want to accept mitzvahs, but rather it's up, as the Rambam phrases it, it's up to you whether you want to be from Avdi Yisrael Akshay. So the comparison between a Ger and an Eved Meshuchra is strictly over the fact that both of them need tefillah, according to Rashi and Tosfos when he's being freed, and according to the Rif and the Rambam when he's first becoming an Eved Kanani. Okay. Now that we were talking about the Yefas Toyar, let's talk about her a little more. Tonan Abanon, where the Pasuk says about the Yefas Toyar, the Gilcha Es Roisha, she should shave her head during that time when she's sitting and crying in your house, but osasa is tziponeha, and she should osasa her nails. Now, the word osasa can mean to, that's what we have to figure out. It means, does it mean to cut them, or does it mean to let them grow long? Now, the point of it, in other words, is, so Rashi explains on the Pasuk that we want her to look unattractive, so that the yid who captured her is going to have second thoughts about actually taking her as a wife, because taking her as a wife is not necessarily the best thing. It's only loy dibra Torah ela k'neged yetzahara. The Torah only gives permission for yifas Torah to have a yifas Torah in the first place, only because in order to keep the guy's yetzahara in check. So this way, like he has an outlet beheter for his desires. But nevertheless, it's not really the best thing. And we find in a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that if a man does marry Yifas Toyar, the consequences of it, Rashi also mentions on the Pasuk, the consequences of it may end up being that he hates her, because after all, he married her only because of her beauty, and Batal Dava B'Tela Ava, and then he may end up having a son with her who's a Ben Sora Remora, an example of that being Avshalom, who was the son of Yifas Toyar. So therefore, so we want to make her unattractive, so that he'll say, you know what, forget about it, let me just let her go free. So what's the Va'osa Siponeha? Rabbi Eliezer, Oyma Tokutz, Rabbi Akiva, Oyma Tagdil. Rabbi Eliezer says it means she has to cut her fingernails. Rabbi Akiva says it means she has to let her fingernails grow long. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says, I can show that the word Va'osa means to grow them short. Nemra Asiya Barosh for Nemra Asiya B'Tziponayim. The Pasuk says something that she has to do with her head, and it says something that she has to do with her fingernails. Malahalan Ha'avara. Now, with the hair of the head, definitely it means to remove it, because it says clearly B'Gilcha, she should shave it. Afkan Ha'avara, the same way. With the fingernails, it has to mean to remove them. Rabbi Akiva says, yes, I agree that there's a comparison with the head, but make the comparison differently. Just like the with the hair, it's something done to make her unattractive, namely that she shaves her hair, which makes her less attractive, because long hair on a woman is more beautiful. Afkan nivul, the same way with the fingernails, it must be something that will make her unattractive. So for her to cut her fingernails, just the opposite, would make her more attractive. So it must be we're talking about for her to cut. It must mean we're talking about for her to grow her fingernails long, where then, you think of it, you know, if your typical long fingernails have dirt underneath them, whatever, so therefore it looks less attractive. However, the Gemara says, Uraya Ladivir Rabbi Eliezer, however, we can bring a proof for what Rabbi Eliezer says, that the word asiya means to grow, means to remove them. The Pasuk describes how you have, so David had escaped from Yerushalayim during Avshalom's rebellion. Now, after Avshalom is dead, he and his ministers and his court are coming back. So now you had, many years earlier, David had befriended Mephibosheth, the grandson of Shaul, the son of Yonasan, and had him be a member of his retinue. He eats regularly at David's table, etc. So now, when David ran away, Mephibosheth didn't go with him, and David had already heard Lashon Hara from a servant of Mephibosheth it's because Mephibosheth was disloyal to him, and he was secretly thinking, let me stay in Yerushalayim, and eventually I may get back the kingship that was taken away from my grandfather. So now, when David is on his way back to Yerushalayim, Mephibosheth comes to meet him. Mephibosheth ben Shaul, Yorah l'kras HaMelech, he came to meet the king David. Loi osa raglov, he had not done his feet. Loi osa svamay, and he hadn't done his mustache. And then the pasuk goes on to say, therefore, there were two ways of looking at it. Is it that all this time, while David had been away, that Mephibosheth was sad that David is on the run, and therefore he'd been neglecting his appearance? Or is it on the contrary that now that David is coming back, then he's coming in an unattractive way, as if to show he doesn't really have much respect for David? Whatever the case, the Gemara discusses in other places whether David was correct in accepting Lashon Hara against Mephibosheth, or whether in fact Mephibosheth's actions made it more likely that in fact the Tziva is telling the truth. Whatever, that's a discussion for another time. The point is, Loi Osa Raglav, Rashi explains, means he didn't cut his toenails. So we see that Osa means to cut them. But Loi Osa Svame, he didn't trim his mustache. So we see that the word Osa means to trim or to remove. Tosfos discusses at some length over here that Loi Osa Raglav may not mean to cut his toenails, rather it may mean he didn't remove the hair between his legs, his pubic hair. And that gets into a discussion of whether a man, Bechlal, is allowed to do that, because that's something usually that women do. So Tosfos and Tosfos Yishonim discuss the ins and outs of that. The main place where the Gemara talks about that is the Gemara in Nazir. Anyway, the point is that we see from that pasuk that Osa refers to trimming, because saying that he didn't trim his toenails or his hair, as the case may be, and he didn't trim his mustache. So the same way, v'osa siponeh can mean, like Rabbi Eliezer says, to trim her fingernails. Okay. Tanan Abanon. The pasuk says, the pasuk continues, that besides that she shaves her hair and does whatever it is with her fingernails, the pasuk continues, v'ochsa sabia v'asima, she cries for her father and her mother. So what does that mean? Rabbi Eliezer, avia avia mamash, ima ima mamash. Rabbi Eliezer says it means literally her father and her mother. She's not necessarily going to see them again, especially if she becomes a giyoris, then she's cutting off her relationships with them. Rabbi Akiva, Omer, avia v'ima zu avodas kechavim. Rabbi Akiva says no. The words avia v'ima mean her idols that she used to be attached to. V'cheinu Omer, omrim la'etz aviata v'gomer. As we find a pasuk that people who worship Avodah Zarah, they say to the wood, you are my father. And the pasuk continues, v'la'evan afi litoni, and they say to idols of stone, you gave birth to us. So in other words, the Ovid Avodah Zarah thought of the idols as their actual father and mother. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says that it means that she bewails that she's not going to be able to be involved with that Avodah Zarah again. So Tosfos points out a couple of possibilities. One is just that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva are arguing how to understand the pasuk, but there's no actual nafkamina in it. Tosfos says a different possibility would be, what if her parents are dead? Or what if her parents themselves were nisgayer? Where there she is going to see them again? So according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's no reason for her to sit and cry for them. According to Rabbi Akiva, we're talking about that she's crying for her Avodah Zarah, so therefore there's that. Tosfos brings also from the Rivan, another possibility is that according to Rabbi Akiva, you can't have her continue the process and become his wife unless she renounces Avodah Zarah. So in other words, she has a month to bewail the fact I'm never going to see and I'm never going to worship my Avodah Zarah again. In other words, that she's accepted, she's made peace with the situation. Eventually, that's how it's going to be. I'm starting a new life over here without Avodah Zarah. Whereas according to Rabbi Eliezer, that wouldn't be necessary. The Rambam points out another detail in it also. He passed things like Rabbi Akiva in both of these machloikas in. So he says what it is also you're going to say you have a woman sitting in your house for a month and she's bewailing the fact that she's never going to do Avodah Zarah again. Don't you have to prevent her from that? I mean, a goy is not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah either. Nevertheless, note that's what it means. In other words, that during that whole month she can be sitting and crying over the loss of her Avodah Zarah, and you don't prevent her from that in any way. The pasuk says yerach yomim. The pasuk says she does this for a month. So how much is yerach? Shloshim yom, 30 days. Rav Shimon Elazar omer tishim yom. Rav Shimon Elazar says actually it means 90 days, because the pasuk says yerach yomim. The pasuk says that she does all this for yerach yomim, and then va'achal kein, and after that, then you have relations with her, and then she becomes your wife. So therefore, so Rav Shimon Elazar says you need 90 days. Yerach shloshim, the word yerach means 30 days. Yomim shloshim, when it says the word yomim, which is extra, then it means another 30 days. V'achav kein shloshim, when it says after that, means yet another 30 days. So therefore, according to him, this whole procedure takes 90 days. As we said before, the Kesef Mishnah points out that practically speaking, you're going to need 90 days anyway, because of Havchana, you can't have relations with her until 90 days from her Gerus in order to make sure that in order to be able to distinguish between children who were conceived in Kedusha and not. But according to that, it wouldn't be that she's sitting there with her hair and nails with her hair shaven and her nails unkempt for 90 days. It would just be for 30 days, and then in addition after that, you have two more chod she'afkana. But according to Rav Shimon Elazar, you actually have the entire 90 days is for her to adjust to her new situation. Maskefla Ravina, but Ravina asks on that. In that case, if you're going to darshan the pasuk like that, then why are you limiting it to 90 days? Maybe say, yeah, yerach means a month, yomim means another 30 days, fine. And then va'achakein means kihani. Maybe the va'achakein means an amount equal to the amounts from the previous two times. So it would be another 60 days, making altogether 120 days. And then what's this kasha? Okay, that's a kasha. It's not as usual. It's not a tiyuvta. So still, Rav Shimon Elazar has his way of learning the pasuk, but we have to ask why he doesn't learn it this way. Okay. Getting back to the topic of avodim now, Tana Rabbanan, mekaymin avodim she'en and molin, divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says we're allowed to keep avodim who are not circumcised. Rabbi Akiva says you can't keep such a vodim for even a short amount of time. So why not? Tosfos brings a couple of possible reasons why. One of them is because if you have a goy as you eved, practically speaking, what's going to happen the next time he handles your wine? You're going to have yayin nesa. Tosfos says that Tosfos continues to say, the Ri in Tosfos says, no, that's not the reason, for a couple of reasons. Rather, the reason is Hashem told Avraham to mal his servants. Therefore, that gives us a precedent that you can't have servants, that you can't have slaves who are not maled, according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel says you could. So Rabbi Shmuel says, what do you mean you can't have an Eved who is not mild? Doesn't the pasuk say that on Shabbos you have to let the son of your maidservant rest? Now, obviously, and now the Gemara is going to explain soon that is talking about an Eved Oral. It can't be talking about an Eved Mohol, a regular Eved Knani, because you have other psukim that say that he has to rest on Shabbos. So we must be talking about an Eved who is a full-fledged Goy, who hasn't gone through any of the stages of Gerus for being an Eved. And the pasuk is still saying that, you have to let him rest on Shabbos. Meaning, in other words, that obviously you're allowed to have such an eved. So the answer is Amalei. So Rav Akiva answers v'lekeach eved bein hashmoshes v'lehispik l'mula yakasa medaber. You know what that pasuk is talking about? You bought an eved right before Shabbos bein hashmoshes, so you didn't have a chance to give him a bris milah yet. So therefore, the pasuk is telling you that first Shabbos, make sure let him be able to rest that Shabbos. By the next Shabbos, you already have to arrange a bris milah for him. But that first Shabbos, where you didn't have a chance to arrange a bris milah, nevertheless, you still have to let him rest on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Now, the bottom line is, we do say both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are agreeing that the words v'inafesh ben amoscha refer to an eved who's an oral, because both of them are agreeing to that fact. Rabbi Shmuel is saying that shows that you can have such an eved even long term, and Rabbi Akiva says only that first Shabbos, because he bought him right before Shabbos. But they both agree with the basic fact that it's referring to a goy. So my mashma, where do you see from the words of the pasuk that ben amoscha means an eved oral? Maybe it means, in other words, you have a maid servant, a shivcha knanis. She has a son who is an eved knani, and him you have to let rest on Shabbos. Where do you see it's referring? But he's one who had a bris milah. Where do you see that we're referring to one who didn't? So like this, the Tanya, we learn in a brisa, when the pasuk says v'inafesh ben amoscha, when it says the ben amoscha should rest, that means be'eved oral akos medaber. That means an eved who's an oral. So after omer be'eved oral, ayena be'el ela be'eved mahol. Maybe not. Maybe it means an eved who was already mild and is a full-fledged eved knani. No, you can't, because kshu omer, because you have in the aseres hadibros, in the second time where it repeats the aseres hadibros in Rosh Hanan, l'man yonuach abdecha va'amoscha kamoicha, that you have to keep Shabbos in order that your Eved and your Omer, your servant, your slave, and your maidservant should rest like you, Hare Eved Mahol Omer. So that's referring to ones who have a bris milah and saying that just like you have to observe Shabbos, so do they. Because as we've learned in this sugya, Avodim and Shvachos, Knanim, are chayev in all the mitzvahs that Jewish women are chayev in. So since a woman is chayev in Shabbos, then so is an Eved. Rashi earlier in the sugya refers to, we have a gzeira shava that's mentioned in other places in Shas, that between a gzeira shava on the word lo, where it compares an eved and a shivcha to a Jewish woman. So therefore, that pasuk l'man yonoch abdecha v'amos chamoicha is referring to them. Ha mani mekayim b'inafesh ben amoscha. So what is the pasuk when it's saying a new thing in order that your ben amoscha should rest? Has to be be'eved aro. So he also, you can't have him work for you on Shabbos. And then when it continues, v'hager, so the pasuk says, v'inafesh ben amoscha v'hager, so what kind of ger are we talking about? Zeh ger toshav. So the braisa continues, we're referring to a ger toshav. Now Rashi learns what it means is, in other words, that. So what's a ger toshav? He accepted on himself shavim mitzvah b'nei noach. But nevertheless, there's actually different opinions. There's Gemaras and other places that discuss what mitzvahs does a guy have to accept in order to be a ger toshav. The minimum, according to any opinion, is he has to accept not to worship Avodah Zarah. There's different opinions whether he has to accept all the shavim mitzvah b'nei noach. The halacha is that he does. Anyway, Rashi learns since breaking Shabbos is like worshiping Avodah Zarah, then it would come out, says Rashi, that a ger toshav also has to observe Shabbos. And therefore, that's what we're saying when it says, v'inafesh ben amoscha v'ager, means that a ger toshav also has to observe Shabbos. Pretty much all the other Rishonim disagree with Rashi on that. Tosfos and Tosfos Chad Mikamai and many other Rishonim disagree with Rashi on that. Because the fact is, first of all, we know that the goyim only have sheva mitzvahs, no more than that. And then, in fact, just the opposite. We say akum sheshavas chayiv misa, that a goy is not allowed to keep Shabbos. So Rashi could answer that it means a goy who's oved avodah zarah is not allowed to observe Shabbos, but a ger toshav by definition is not observing avodah zarah. However, anyway, Tosfos and all the other rishonim explain that no, what we mean is you're not allowed to have the ger toshav do melacha for you on Shabbos. Now, the whole concept of Amir al-Akum is only Dirabanan. Midaraisa, you would be allowed to have a goy do work for you on Shabbos. But what the Pasuk is telling you over here is that if he's a ger toshav, then you cannot. So anyway, continues the Braisa. So a ger is a ger toshav. Ata oim is a ger toshav. So you're saying that it means a ger toshav. Oy ena el ger tzedek. Maybe not. Maybe it actually means a ger tzedek, a ger who actually became a full-fledged Jew. Maybe the pasuk is telling you that he has to rest on Shabbos also. No, again, in the Aser Sadibris, it already says that your ger who's in your gates and your cities has to keep Shabbos. Had a ger tzedek omer. So that already covers a ger tzedek. Ha mani mekayim v'hager. So necessarily, the word v'hager in Parshas Mishpatim, in the pasuk that we're quoting, the nafesh ben amoscha v'ager, has to mean zeh ger toshav. Necessarily, therefore, it has to refer to a ger toshav. So again, according to Rashi, the ger toshav himself has to keep Shabbos, and according to Tosfos and everybody else, it means that you're not allowed to tell the ger toshav to do work for you on Shabbos. So the point is, we see from this braisa that the word ben amoscha clearly means an eved who has not undergone bris milah yet. And the pasuk is telling you that he rests on Shabbos as well. So again, according to Rabbi Shmuel, you can have such an eved even long term, and according to Rabbi Akiva, only short term, only you board him right before Shabbos. But after Shabbos, you're gonna have to arrange for a milah for him as soon as possible. And again, Tosfos says one reason is in order that he doesn't make your wine yayin nesach, and another reason is because Hashem told Avraham that his avodim have to be mild, and therefore that follows in later generations as well. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Shimon Levi, halakeach eved min ha'oved kechavim. If a Jew buys an eved from a goy, v'loy rotz alamol, and this eved does not want to undergo bris milah, megalgal imay ad yud beis chodesh, then you keep on going with him. You tolerate him essentially for 12 months, and you try during that time you try to talk him into it and see if he'll change his mind. Loy rotza, if after the 12 months he still doesn't want. Loimol, rather, if he loimol after the 12 months he still doesn't want bris milah, then you resell him to goyim because you can't keep him as an eved anymore. By the way, the Rambam mentions in that connection, you do have to have that he's willing to accept shev mitzvah bnei noach. If not, then anyway, then a goyim doesn't accept shev mitzvah bnei noach when we have control over him in principle. Then yehorig. So then you'd have to do the same thing over here as well. But we're talking about where he's willing to accept Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach, but he's not willing to accept Mila. So you have 12 months, and then after that you have to resell him to a goy. So the Gemara says, Amru Rabbanan Kamei de Rapapa. Now the Chachamim told this statement over to the Papa, and they discussed it and said, Kiman, now which Tana is this life we had before Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva? On the face of it, Deloike Rabbi Akiva. It seems that this last statement of Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi is not like Rabbi Akiva. After all, Rabbi Akiva said you can't keep such an Eved without Bris Milah, implying even for a short time. We were saying that only the first Shabbos are you allowed to keep them. Now, the problem with that is that when we have a Machloikas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, the Halacha is generally like Rabbi Akiva. So why is Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi telling us something not like Rabbi Akiva? Omalahura Papa, so the Papa answers them, Afilu Tamer Rabbi Akiva. You could actually even say it goes according to Rabbi Akiva. Hani Mili, Hechagalai Paskala Milse. Because there's a difference where it wasn't fixed, where the matter wasn't fixed, which we'll explain in a second what that means. Aval Hech the Paskal Milse Paska. But where it was fixed, then it's fixed. Meaning, so Rashi learns, if Rashi learns that the word Paska means interruption, means ceasing. So if he never accepted to become a ger, so Lloyd Posak Migayusa, Rashi says he never ceased from his goyish status, then we're saying Rabbi Akiva is saying that then Rabbi Akiva is saying you can't keep him for even a short time. But if when you bought him, he was saying, sure, I'm willing to undergo gerus and become an Eved Kanani, and then he changed his mind, then even Rabbi Akiva will agree that you can keep him for 12 months and see if he'll agree again like he agreed originally. That's Rashi's first explanation from his Rebbe. Then Rashi brings a second explanation that posak means to determine. So if loy posak lemilse, so in other words, if he didn't say anything when he bought him what the deal is going to be, so then we would say he can't keep him. But if he told him specifically that I'm giving you 12 months, and if you don't mal during that 12 months, then I'm going to resell you to a goy, then during those 12 months, in effect, he's only like a hired worker, and even Rabbi Akiva would agree that you could keep him. So those are two explanations in Rashi. Tosfos brings another explanation that the Pascha and like Pascha and Milse is actually not referring to Rabbi Akiva's statement, but rather it's referring back to Rabbi Shmuel's statement. So Lloyd Paschal of Milsei would be the other way around, that he every day he tells him, do you want a bris milah? And the guy keeps pushing him off, yeah, I'll do it tomorrow. As opposed to when Paschal of Milsei, when he says definitively, I don't want to undergo a bris milah and I'm not changing my mind, then even Rabbi Shmuel would say that maybe you can't keep him. Tosfos disagrees with that and says that no, what it is it is referring to Rabbi Akiva, and we're saying, in the words, posak, and like posak means, in the words, where he said to begin with, that posak would mean that to begin with, they made a deal, almost the opposite of Rashi's explanation, that posak means they made a deal to begin with, I'm not undergoing bris milah. So then you're not required to. So therefore, you don't do it bal kocha, you wait for 12 months. But if he agreed to, and now he's pushing it off and keeps on saying, you know what, we'll do it some other time, then we're saying ein mekaymin, because you can't delay the mitzvah any longer than necessary. And then The Rambam seems to have a different definition of it, because the Rambam understands that Poska does mean, like Rashi's second explanation, that he made a deal, or like Tosfos' second explanation, that it means he made a deal with him. And the Rambam learns essentially that if you made a deal with the Eved to begin with, when you bought him, that you're not going to mal him, then fine, you can keep him indefinitely as an Eved, not as an Eved Kanani. In that case, essentially, like Rashi said, essentially he's just a hired worker of yours. Essentially, he just becomes a Ger Toshav who's working for you. The Rambam then says that would only apply when we can accept Geir Toshav, namely in the time when Yovel exists. The Ravid disagrees with that point and says that this particular case could work even when there's no Yovel like nowadays. The Rambam writes in Shulchan Aruch that in his times, there were occasionally Jews who had Goyim as slaves. In those countries, it was illegal for Jews to be Megayer Goyim, and they could get in deep trouble if they did. They could even endanger the entire Jewish community. So the Ramah says, practically speaking, when a Jew buys an Eved nowadays, there's an implicit understanding that he's not going to mal him and he's not going to make him a Yid. Over Yom Tov, we were talking about in the American South before the Civil War, there was slave owning. There were some Jews who owned slaves over there. I don't know if we find that any of them mauled their slaves and made them half Jews, made them avodim knanim. They wouldn't have had the issue that the Ramah is describing. It wasn't illegal in the United States to make people gerim. Practically speaking, though, I don't think we hear of it. Maybe because they didn't know better, or maybe because it was already a well-established thing in Jewish life that you have avodim who are not mild. So it would be that would be in accordance with the Ravid, who says that can happen even nowadays, even when the Yovel is not known. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Kahana, Amrita l'shmaita kamedir of Zvid min ha'udah. So Rav Kahana says, I said over this discussion to Rav Zvid min ha'udah, who was his Rebbe, Omer li. So he says to me, so if you're going to say that even within what Rabbi Akiva is saying, there's a difference between Poska and not Poska, according to the various explanations of Rashi and Tosfos and the Rambam that we just said. So if you're going to tell me that even according to Rabbi Akiva, that there's cases where you can have an Eved who's not mauled, well then, ki omer Rabbi Akiva v'lakeach Eved ben Ashmoshes, then what we had before that Rabbi Yishmael says to Rabbi Akiva, don't you have a Posik v'inofesh ben Amoscha, which we established means an Eved who wasn't mauled, and nevertheless, you have to have him keep Shabbos as well. You can't have him work for you on Shabbos. And Rabbi Akiva had answered with a keach eved bein hashmoshes, that we're talking about the specific case, he bought an eved right before Shabbos and there's no time to mal him. Well, why do we need that? Why doesn't Rabbi Akiva answer him that? If you're telling me that even according to Rabbi Akiva, there are scenarios where you're allowed to keep an eved who hasn't had a milah, and you're allowed to keep him at least for 12 months, maybe even according to the Rambam indefinitely, then why doesn't Rabbi Akiva mention that? And that would be how we'd understand the pasuk. Okay, so the Gemara says, fine. Chodim etrei taimi noka. Chodim etrei taimi kamar. Fine. Rabbi Akiva had two possible answers he could have given. That he could have given the answer that he bought the Eved Bein Hashmoshes. He could give the answer about Poska and like Poska. So he chose one of the two possible answers and told it to Rabbi Shmuel that we can understand the pasuk that way. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Shalach Robin Mishmei de Rabbi Loi. Robin sent a message to Bavel in the name of Rabbi Loi, v'chol rabboisai omru li mishmoi, and he says, all my rabbeim also said it in Rabbi Loi's name. Ezehu eved oral shemotu l'kaimoi, what is the case of an eved who does not have a bris milah, where you're allowed to keep him as an eved? Zesh lokchei rabbi amanas shalei l'mulai, when his Jewish master bought him on condition that he's not going to mal him. So before we were talking about Poska and Loi Poska, which again, okay, so actually, so the Rambam's explanation more fits with the second explanation of Yamanas Shalei Lemula. The first one, Poska and Loi Poska, would be like we were talking about that originally he agreed and then changed his mind, or you told him to begin with, I'm giving you 12 months, or whatever the various explanations that we said of Rashi and Tosfos. Anyway, so now we're saying a new concept that if you buy him to begin with, Amanas, to not mal him, then that's also valid. So again, Amru Rabbanan Kamed Rapapa. So the Yeshivalite told that over to Rapapa, and they said on the face of it, Kiman the Loik Rabbi Akiva. Again, that seems to be not like Rabbi Akiva, the E Rabbi Akiva Homa Ein Makaimin. After all, Rabbi Akiva says you can't keep such an Eved, implying, and it seems like Rabbi Akiva only allows it very short term, only until you have the first opportunity to mal him. Amalu Rapapa. So Rapapa says to them, no, I feel the tame Rabbi Akiva. You could even say it's according to Rabbi Akiva. Because it's only when he didn't make a t'nai with him, but if he made a t'nai, then the t'nai is a t'nai, and then as the Rambam says, effectively the Eved is just a ger toshav. So two different things, in other words. You have Poska and Loi Poska, where he agreed and then changed his mind, or where you told him to begin with, I'm giving you 12 months, or where, as Tosfos said, the other way around, where he agreed and now he's pushing you off from day to day, etc. But now we have to begin with, you buy him with a tnai saying, I'm not going to marry you, then fine, you're allowed to keep him on as, in effect, a ger toshav. Again, according to the Rambam, only when the yovel is noyeg, and according to the Ravid, even when not. So again, Omer of Kahana, Amrita l'shmaita kamedir of Zvid min Hagah. So again, Rav Kahana says, I told this discussion over Rav Papa's statement, true of Zvid min Hagah, but Omer li, and he says, Ihahi, well, if so, if what Rav Papa is saying is correct, then going back to the Braisa earlier on the Omer, Ki ka'omale Rav Akiva b'lekech eved ben ashmoshes v'lehispik v'mulay, Rav Akiva had had to say that the pasuk v'yinokesh ben amoska is referring to when you bought an eved p'nani ben ashmoshes of Shabbos and you didn't have a chance to give him a bris milah yet. So why does he need that? L'shani leha, why can't he answer him as we just said, that there can be a case where you buy him to begin with al-manas, that he's not going to have bris milah? So the Gemara answers, v'li taimeich, nu and according to your svara, l'shani lehach, that he could answer with the previous answer, the difference between Poska and Loi Poska. Ella, so this is, so we use the same answer as before. Chad mitreyu, last time he came, Rabbi Akiva is using one of several possible answers. He would have, when Rabbi Shmuel tells him, what about v'nafesh ben amoscha, Rabbi Akiva could tell him, we're talking about you bought an eved ben ashmoshes, or we're talking about a time of Poska during the 12 months, or we're talking about where you made a tnai. So okay, Rabbi Akiva picked one of those answers and gave it to Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara continues. Yosef, Rav Chanina, Bar Papi, Rav Ami, Rav Yitzchak Napcha, Akilo, Rav Yitzchak Napcha. These three chachamim were sitting by the front porch of Rav Yitzchak Napcha's house. The Yasvi, the Kamri, they were sitting. And saying, "Ir Ach." I can give you an example of this. Ir Achas Hoyse be'Eretz Yisrael. There was a certain city in Eretz Yisrael. The Avodim Knanim who lived in that city did not want to mal. The Gilgulu Imoimat Shnema Sechodesh. So the Jews in that city waited and kept on trying to work with them on it over the throughout the 12 months. The Chazru Mochrim Lo'Evdikachavim. And then they resold them to Goyim because at that point they can't have them as Avodim anymore. So the Gemara says, Kaman ki hai tana. Well, whom were they following? They were following the following Tana. The Tanya, halakeach eved min ha'ovid b'chavim, a person buys an eved from a goy, v'loy rotz alomu, megalgul ima ad shnei masachodesh, then he keeps on trying to convince him throughout the 12 months, loy mol, and if he didn't mal, chozir amochir lo'ovid b'chavim, then you resell him to goy. Now, the Braisa continues, Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, ein mashin oisei be'eretz Yisrael, Reb Shimon Elazar says, in Eretz Yisrael, you can't keep him at all, not even less than 12 months, b'pnei hefsed taris, because it's going to ruin taris, because what's going to happen? A goy midrabanon is metame. So therefore, and he is metame, anything that he touches, in particular, the food that he touches. So what's going to happen? You're going to have an eved by you who is not mild, who is in effect a ger toshav. He, the next time he touches your food, he's going to be metame it. So if you're a kohen and you have truma, then he's going to be metame it. And the same thing if you have if you're Yisrael and you have kodshim, or you have challah that you're going to bring to the kohen, whatever. So because of that, we don't want, says so in Chutzlaretz, you don't have truma and taris and anything at least daraisa. So therefore, there's less concern. Soon. But you know, it's Yisrael. Rav Shimon Elazar says you can't have a goy working for you even short term because of that concern. And the Braisa continues, over Ira Smucha L'Sfar, also in a city in Eretz Yisrael, even in a city that's near the border, Ein Mashin Oisei Kol Iker, you can't keep such an Eved at all, even short term, Shema Yishma Dover, because he may overhear something that the Jews are planning, and he's going to go tell it to his Goyish friends, because after all, he still is a Goy, and then on the border over there, any secrets, the Goyim on the other side of the border can use those as intelligence that they can use to invade. So then endanger the safety of Eretz Yisrael. So you don't want such a vadim anywhere near the border. So when the guy becomes an Eved Knani and already he's keeping some mitzvahs, so then that already puts a certain mental distance between him and his old Goyish friends, so therefore he's less likely to go and blab secrets to them. But when he's still a full-fledged Goy, then you could have that potential problem. This is all the pashtus. This second part is only according to the Shimon Elazar also. And in fact, the Rambam doesn't bring that point lahalacha at all. Only the Chachamim who say that you can give him the 12 months, unless, as we said before, you made it tonight to begin with, that you're not going to mal him and then you can keep him indefinitely. Okay. Getting now back to Gerim. Tanya, Rav Chananya b'nei Shiram Gamliel Omer, b'fnei ma gerim b'zman hazeh me'unin v'yisurin boin aleihen. Why nowadays are gerim suffering and all kinds of troubles are coming on them? Meaning Jews also have that, but the question is, in other words, with Jews, we can say to a certain extent it's left over because our ancestors did averus, and therefore, you know, like the pasuk says, avaseinu chotu ve'enam v'anachnu avaseinim savolnu. We continue suffering because of the averus our ancestors did, but gerim don't have that. So why particularly are they having troubles in life? And the reason is because back when they were goyim, before they became gerim, they did not keep sheva mitzvos min hanoyach. So therefore, that's being held against them now. Rabbi Yossi says that's not the reason. Gershin is after all, when a person becomes a gerim, so now Rashi explains, up until now Hashem didn't punish them because fine, as usual, Hashem doesn't generally punish the goyim in this world for failing to keep their sheva mitzvos. He keeps that for Olam Haba. But now that he became a gerim, then Hashem wants to clean that up, and therefore he punishes them now. But Rabbi Yossi is saying, no, gerushin is guy cotton shanova dummy. When a ger becomes a ger, then he's considered like a newborn child. So therefore, the effect of the fact that he did averus while he was a goy is wiped away. Now, mind you, that doesn't necessarily apply in dine odam. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that if a goy did things that make him chayev shev mitzvah v'noyach while he was a goy, and then he converted, then he's still liable for those punishments that he would have been as a ben noyach. But what we mean is, in Hashem's judgment, Hashem is not going to judge him, says Rabbi Yossi, for the sheva mitzvah that he failed to keep as a goy. Here you have, by the way, the famous expression that why gerushin is gayo. You have the famous explanation from the Chidah and from others that's brought all over the place in Chassidus, that we're talking about that he had a neshama, that he had a Jewish neshama all along, and that's why we don't say goyishin is gayo, but rather gerushin is gayo, because all this time, even as a goy, he was already a prospective gerush. Anyway, so he's kakotin shenolam dummy. So therefore, Ella, so Rabbi Yossi says, mifnei ma ma'unin, so why are the gerim nowadays suffering, l'fisha in bikin, b'dikduke mitzvahs ki Yisrael? Because they're not as familiar with the details of mitzvahs as Jews. So what happens? In other words, they're keeping mitzvahs as best they know, but they don't know very much. So they end up inadvertently being over on various details of mitzvahs. And therefore, they get their punishment for that. Again, in this world, so this way they're clean. This way they're clean for Olam Haba. Another reason, because they don't serve Hashem out of love, they serve Hashem out of fear. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says, they're fearing Gehenna, they're fearing the punishments for mitzvahs, and that's a very low level of serving Hashem. So Tosfos explains over here, now, when there's Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, then those are both actually a very high level. But we're talking about over here, there's a person serves Hashem out of love of other people, or out of fear of other people, or punishment, or whatever. So then we're saying that's no good. So a ger, it tends to be on that level, and therefore he's getting punished in this world in order to bring him to a higher level, in order to bring him to a level where he's serving Hashem in the right way, not because of Yira. Acherim on him, and then Acherim say, "Mipnei shehu atzmam likonis tachas kanfei hashchina." Acherim say another reason why gerim suffer in this world is because they delayed coming under the wings of the Shechina. Meaning, in other words, they lived a certain amount of their life as goyim, and now they decided to become gerim. So therefore, Hashem takes into consideration, well, if you had a Jewish neshama all this time, then why didn't you become a ger earlier at your first possible opportunity? Some of the Rishonim learn that that's not what it means. It means rather, once the person decides to start becoming a ger, then practically speaking, sometimes a person goes and follows through with it right away, but many times not. Many times the person takes a long time thinking it over and weighing it and whatever before he decides to take the step. So now we're saying that once the person decided to become a ger, then why are you pushing it off? Or maybe not, so maybe not once he's still thinking it over, because we said before, we do try to discourage him. But in other words, once he decided, you know what, I am going to go through with it, then he should be doing it as soon as possible. And they don't always, many times they delay. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bohu Vitamer Rab Chanina, Maikra. What's a pasuk that expresses that idea of what the Acherim say? You have by Nomian, you have by Rus, where Boaz tells Rus, Yeshalim Hashem Polich, may Hashem pay you. For may Hashem pay you for what you did. May you have a complete reward from Hashem. That you came to shelter under his wings. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says, the point is that Boaz is stressing, you did it as soon as possible. You didn't delay. Therefore you get your complete schar, as opposed to other gerim who do delay, where they don't necessarily get their complete schar and they end up suffering in this world. So that's Marsha explained. That's the double expression. Number one, you get a schar for the fact that you became a geyoris in the first place, and number two, you get an additional schar that'll be for olam haba. And number two, you get a schar in this world because you did it as soon as possible. So it could be, by the way, when the Gemara is talking about over here about why Gerim suffer and giving these various reasons, you know, it may also be that it depends on the Ger's own attitude towards what he's experiencing. Sometimes you have, you know, you have, for example, the Ger Tzedek, Avram ben Avram from Vilna, where he was arrested and he was eventually burned at the stake, and he was very happy about it. In fact, it brought that the Vilna Gaon offered to get him out of jail using Kabbalah, and he turned it down because he said, once I have the opportunity for Mesiras Nefesh, then I don't want to give it up. By the way, one of the Rabbeim, or one of the great Hasidim of later generations, said that actually if Avram ben Avram had known Torah Sachsidus, he wouldn't have taken that attitude, because he would have realized that Avodah down here on earth is even more precious than Mesiras Nefesh. Whatever the case, anyway, the point is, so that kind of person we're not talking about, that's not Mu'unin Yisurin, because he doesn't feel it as Yisurin. So we're talking about when the Ger feels it as Yisurin and kind of resents it, then we have these various reasons that the Gemara says for it, but not when he himself doesn't feel it as Yisurin, but rather as a privilege, like we had before in the Gemara, where we tell a Ger, as the Gemara had said, we tell a prospective Ger, don't you realize that Jewish people nowadays suffer, and he may say, Yodea ani ve'eni kedai, I don't even deserve to join in that suffering, because I understand that it's a privilege, then maybe our Gemara is not talking about a Ger who has that kind of attitude. One other thing, by the way, to complete something we were saying before, we were talking about the Ger Toshav keeping Shabbos, where again, we had Rashi saying that a Ger Toshav always has to keep Shabbos, and Tosfos and most other Rishonim saying that no, the Tosfos Chadmi Kamai has an interesting sort of middle ground on it. He says, we can be talking about a Ger who's in the process of becoming a Ger Tzedek. So because he's still a goy, he still hasn't undergone mila and tevila, but because he's already in the process, then therefore we're saying he has to keep Shabbos. So lemaisa, we don't hold like that lahalacha, because we do see when a prospective ger is before they finish their mila and tevila, we always tell them, where the rabbanim will tell them, because goy shabbos chayiv misa, then they will tell them to be transgressing Shabbos with some particular detail, like sometime during Shabbos, turn on a light switch or something. But when the Tosfos Chadmi Kamai, we wouldn't need to do that, because once they're already in the process of gerus, then they wouldn't need to do that, and they are allowed to observe Shabbos fully. Okay, shukriya, everyone.